you are ready. Are you ready? No, we can start if you are ready. I thought other things they work as a combination of things, high blood and other things. They need to cool off for some time. Oh, it's only my story. We got that problem. Okay, it's fine. I'll take note. Members, welcome back. Welcome to the Sunday, led by the chaplain, Mr. Mashile, and your CEO. You introduce your team, but you are most welcome. To give us a strategic plan and your budget for 2012-2013. Let me hand over to you to take us through your presentation. But I must say that there are new faces on the side of Sentech, which are not familiar to be where they are. But familiar to be around the committee of parliament, but not where they are now in policies and so on. Probably they will ask us to understand what happened, why they are here, so that we understand them better.
Thank you, Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee on Communication. We really thank you for the opportunity to come here and present our strategic plan for the MTF 2012 to 2015. But before I start, I would like us to introduce ourselves to the committee, and I'll ask each and every member of the team to introduce himself or herself. That way, they'll break their eyes and clear their throat and feel at ease. My name is Paris Mashile, the acting chairperson of Sentech.
Stu Mahapi, CEO of Sentech.
Roger Steele, CFO of Sentech.
Steve Mulala, non-executive member of Sentech.
Good afternoon. I'm Mesuli Lamini, non-executive director of Sentech.
Good afternoon. I'm CFO John Vassar, non-executive director of Sentech.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Thabo Mungake, non-executive director at Sentech.
Good afternoon, honorable members. I'm Leah Kumalo, non-executive director at Sentech.
Good afternoon, honorable members. I'm Matlakala Munyai, company secretary at Sentech.
Okay, I think we have all the essential members of the team having introduced themselves. We do have apologies that were
to the non-essential.
We would like to, I believe, two board members did offer apologies by way of communicating to the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. I also once more tender their apologies for not having been around. But the reasons have been given to the chairperson as to why they could not make it. We now have the opportunity to present to you our strategic plan, which in itself is about our mission and vision and the strategic objectives that will ensure that we realize all the visionary objectives that we have. And it will also be, it is a game plan, and we will lay out the plans, projects, and programs that will relate to how we intend fulfilling our obligations. And we'll also have the financial statements that will underpin all of the projects that we will be undertaking in this period as indicated. Thank you very much, and With your permission, I will hand over to the CEO to take us through.
Then let's go to the non-essential first, and then we'll come to the presentation. You indicated that all the essential people have already introduced themselves. Now let's go to the non-essential from Centec.
And accompanied us could as well have this opportunity of also letting themselves known to the body. How I wish to then withdraw the remarks that I made in that particular regard.
Can we have the others from Centec introducing themselves?
Thank you, honorable members. My name is Monde Ngeleni, coming from Centec Office of the CEO, responsible for government relations. Thank you.
Good afternoon, members. My name is Ntavile Mukitimi, coming from the Office of the CEO, Corporate Communications and CSI.
Good afternoon, members. Zeli Mtembu, Office of the CEO.
Thank you. Okay, Rabat.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, honorable members. We'll present the strategic plan. I will assist with the page numbering. If we start with the page 5 of the presentation that you have, that's just a statement of why we are here, to present the Centec corporate plan for the MTN period 2012-2015 in terms of the various applicable legislation and regulations. The board is here with a plan that is aligned and informed by the government's midterm strategic focus for the next 5 years. In addition to that, the strategic plan is also informed by various operational requirements within the company. Moving on page 6, the submission of this corporate plan, particularly in this financial year, we believe that it coincides with the significant change, particularly in the broadcasting industry, particularly a change that has the potential to unleash various forms of economic and social benefits. Last year when we were here, we did mention that in terms of what we believe, the business case of particularly the DTT project that is part of our mandate is really on the socio-economic benefit that will result particularly from the digital dividend that will be unleashed at its completion. In addition to that, the communications landscape is changing quite significantly. The challenge for us as Centec is to move from the traditional signal distribution and operations, working just for broadcasters, to embrace the need for general content distribution while retaining the fundamental mandate around open access, around universal access in particular, on the demand side and open access on the supply side. It is quite important that as the environment around us changes, that Centec changes properly and is able to review its business model, review its operating model, and respond adequately to the changing environment. Our plan is informed by other various activities happening around us. The state of the nation addressed by the president, as we mentioned last year, repeating again this year, is a fundamental driver of our the thinking behind the plan. The Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Committee has set a number of imperatives for the MTSF period, particularly the definition of the state of or the role of SOEs, SOCs, in infrastructure development. towards the in achievement of the goals of economic development and job creation in general. The plan is also informed by the work that is currently going on from the National Planning Commission. The draft National Development Plan is in circulation. We have engaged with the NPC, and we have noted the understanding and the appreciation embedded in the draft National Development Plan about the role of ICT in general in society and in the economy. We believe that our plan, we've tried to align our plan to the thinking around the development plan, the draft National Development Plan, and made inputs into the plan. The body is confident that Centec will achieve the objectives as set out in the corporate plan, in particular the key initiatives and the flagship projects that were earlier highlighted by the Department of Communications, particularly on the rollout of the digital terrestrial transmission network in support of broadcast digital migration, and to the extent set out by the shareholder in terms of the national broadband plan and the broadband strategy earlier discussed by the DOC on the rollout of the national wireless broadband network. The board has presented the plan to the minister and expresses appreciation for the leadership that the department has shown and given to the company. In terms of our purpose are defined by vision, mission, and value statements. We haven't changed them from last year. In particular, everything that we do is still underpinned by the mission statement as stated there, which is to enable affordable universal access to communication services in the context of South Africa's social political imperatives as a developmental state, and we'll highlight throughout the presentation of the plan how the different elements of that mission statement informs our work. Our company's purpose is also informed by our understanding of our public service mandate as defined in our founding legislation, the Centec Act of 1996, which established Centec to provide broadcasting and distribution services as a common carrier to licensed broadcasters. At the time, it was in terms of the IBA. Mandate is also informed by the ECA. During the development of this corporate plan in particular, we noted that the legislation, particularly if one looks at the Centec Act talking about the IBA, is not yet responded to the changing environment. And we drew towards the older policies or the policies that surrounded the development of the various legislation to better understand our public service mandate. In particular, we've noted the white paper on broadcasting policy of 1998, whose elements are still relevant to us and which still provides us with guidance even as the world changes around us. In particular, we have noted that the policy statement called for signal distribution services to push for universal access for the signal distributor, in particular, to provide and support the different categories of broadcasters, these being public, commercial, and community broadcasters, in support of broader participation in the industry. The white paper called for the signal distributor to build systems that are open access and interoperable. And we've noted also lastly that the white paper called on the signal distribution system to be forward-looking and be able to enable the country for a digital multimedia future. It was in 1998, and we believe now that, in fact, it is the time for Centec to, in fact, lead the country in that respect around DTT. We've also looked at the broadband policy of 2010, that calls for universal access, availability around the country, at affordable prices for all, and noting that the policy also calls for participation of SOEs such as Centec and Incorporated Infaco in the provision of communication services, particularly around universal access. The broadcast disaggregation policy also informs our public service mandate in terms of what should be done on DTT, creating an environment for uptake of DTT. The network is an essential element to promote uptake, in addition to other elements such as content and so on. Support for community broadcasters, support for mobility in the consumption of particularly public broadcasting services, support for all the languages in the country, and particularly support for people with disabilities. We've also drawn from the draft policy directions on the high demand spectrum. This being spectrum that will be on one hand released as part of the digital dividend, and also spectrum in the 2.6 gigahertz band. And noting that the policy directions call for again the universal access to broadband services and greater participation of particularly broad-based tech economic empowerment entities in the industry. Finally, our public service mandate is driven by the strategic goals as set from the shareholder, and we have listed the five strategic goals that were presented by the department later on today. The board has identified six key strategic areas that the board feels will enable the entity to move into this new environment. Prime among that is understanding and management of our customers and our stakeholders, ensuring the rollout of the infrastructure that is required, particularly around DTT and later on broadband, ensuring that in when we roll out such infrastructure and when we make it available to everybody in the industry, we do so on the basis of open access and interoperability, and making sure that the services that we provide are available to as many people in the country as possible. We noted that we have a base that we are working from, and that the challenge that we have is to create solutions for our customers and our stakeholders. In that respect, the board has agreed on a strategic, particular focus area on expansions of public broadcasting services, both radio and television, and also on the creation of a multimedia content delivery platform that will allow content, particularly public content, to be available to all citizens irrespective of location and time and methods of access. Strategic focus area around employees, particularly around skills development and leadership and management development programs, to be able to help our people to operate efficiently and effectively in this new world we're heading into. Looking at issues of sustainability, another strategic focus area, making sure that we keep developing a mix of products and solutions that will enable or allow us to be sustainable in the long term, while leveraging the shareholder investments on our flagship projects and making sure that we stay fully funded for our projects. And finally, a strategic focus area around governance, particularly compliance to all the legal and regulatory requirements that govern our operations, embedding risk management within our operations in terms at all levels of governance within the company. The board feels that at the level at which they are set, these are strategic objectives are good enough to be able to enable the company to fulfill its mandate over at least the next three years of the MTF period. In terms of the how of how we're going to do, or the what we're going to do, we then looked at the strategic roadmap, informed again by the industry around us, informed by the policy and regulatory environment around us, and also to an extent, I mean, and to a large extent, our customer requirements, particularly the commercial customers. From an industry point of view, we have looked at the trends in the industry, in broadcasting and broadband in general. We have looked at it from a slightly a view of what combines both the producers of content and the consumers of content. We have looked at a data point that shows the interest of the producers and the interest of the consumers. And the the metric that we use is the advertising revenue for broadcasting services. We looked at radio services. We've noted that radio will continue to increase, at least in terms of the size of the economic industry. We've noted again that ICASA, just before the beginning of the financial year, licensed three additional commercial radio services in Swane, in Tekwini, and in Cape Town. And that ICASA has also released an invitation to apply for secondary markets. This including markets in the Northwest, in Free State, in, and also in the Eastern Cape. And we are providing services to the commercial radio services stations. We also looked at the community radio. We will note that even as the industry, radio industry grows, there are challenges within the community radio space, and we have aligned our tariffs to be able to, in support of the community radio broadcasting service. In particular, the tariffs that we are implementing this year, that were also announced by ICASA on the 16th of April, we have engaged with ICASA on the tariffs. We have reduced, in line again with the ECA, as a common carrier. We do have a common carrier status in terms of the Act, and it is our duty to be able to differentiate according to the three categories of broadcasters. Radio, community radio tariffs have reduced by an average of 65% for the effective this financial year. On television, the television market, we noted that it will continue to increase, noting that the subscription television market will increase faster than the free-to-air market, but also that once DTT comes into place and analog switch-off happens, that the trend that we've seen since 2008 may also reduce. With respect to community television broadcasting, again, we have responded to the challenges there in compliance with the ECA and have reduced the community television tariffs by an average of 35%. Effective this financial year. We've also noted the increase in mobile television. A public policy issue there that we've noted is the need for everybody, all citizens, to access public broadcasting services on any device. We've seen the increasing use of mobile devices for such use. And in that respect, we have put in our strategic plan that we will be working together with the SABC to develop or put up a test mobile television platform. We are currently also serving one particular test licensee. Internet broadband, we've noted that there is growth, quite steep growth there. We also noted that most of that growth is driven by is linked to mobile internet access, and also, as noted by various other participants in the industry, the increasing use of smartphones. our strategy is also particularly informed by policy and regulatory framework in terms of how the objectives are set out in the different policy documents need to be achieved. The BDM in particular calls for 100% access for digital content, particularly public broadcasting services. We previously noted that it, because of the technicalities in the way the DTT environment has been set up, that it will not be possible in the short term to achieve 92% territorial coverage. We did make input in the policy BDM policy review, and we've also noted that the policy now specifically accepts the use of satellite as a gap filler for certain categories of coverage areas, one being the SKA area in the Northern Cape, second being the places designated for low power coverage, the existing cell sites, and also places where it may not be economical to get terrestrial coverage in the short term. In terms of also how we're going to achieve our objectives, also made the BDM policy calls for the inclusion, total inclusion of all community broadcasters on DTT, and we have designed our DTT network to be able to accommodate all of the community broadcasters. The draft policy on electronic on high demand spectrum was withdrawn since the publishing of the corporate plan, and it's probably not worth talking about it. The draft policy directions on the same subject are still in circulation, though. The DTT regulations, we have made inputs into the old regulations were reviewed by the regulator, and they are currently, the draft, new draft regulations are currently under discussion. We have made inputs similar to the ones that we have made in the BDM policy. And in terms of the design of the strategy moving forward, we have already designed for that. We also noted the issues paper on the review of broadcasting regulatory framework, and again noted that will inform our work. In all of this, again, the board wishes to thank the Department of Communications for the leadership that they showed, particularly in the review of the BDM policy. The business strategy is underpinned by the concepts as contained in our mission statement, the issue of universal access. Universal access in terms of accessibility, in terms of availability, and in response to the changing environment. Not too long ago, it was 64 kilobits per second for just basic voice services. And now we're talking about data, probably at the moment, in terms of the policy, 256K. But most likely could go up to 1 megabit per second in the next review. Our business strategy is also underpinned by open access and interoperability. This is to ensure that there are as few barriers to entry into the industry as possible with what we do. And finally, with our business strategy is informed by the issues of diversity and affordability. How we then organized ourselves on the different programs with on radio signal distribution, with particular focus on the FM radio services. We have had a discussion and a long discussion over the past financial year with the SABC, and have agreed for the MTF period to undertake a program of diversifying the radio services, such that the language services that are defined by the SABC are available beyond the pre-1994 borders. And that program has been accepted by both the SABC and ourselves, and will begin in this financial year. In addition to that, we'll continue providing support to community radio broadcasters, starting, as we've mentioned earlier on, with a reduction in tariffs, but also making sure that given the reduction in tariffs, we are able to accommodate all other community broadcasters that have previously elected to self-provide and try to accommodate them within our platform and our area of operation. Again, on radio, medium wave, this area of operation has not seen much growth, but we've recently seen movement from ICASFA licensing new medium wave providers, and we're providing support to any that come through, and particularly intervening and working with ICASFA to create more opportunities for anybody who might want to broadcast on medium wave. Shortwave, we do have a fairly old platform out in Meyerton, and it is undergoing operational turnaround, and the board will be sitting in detail reviewing how this area of operation will evolve into the future. On television, the main intervention over the next 3 years, particularly this first financial, the first year of the MTF period, is really one in preparing in the DDT program, and secondly in getting back particularly all the self-help operations. Probably we've counted about more than 500 of them where local municipalities provide their own signal distribution for public broadcasting services and sometimes for commercial services. We've agreed with the CBC that for where such self-help operations provide public broadcasting services, we will take them over and make sure that they are fully aligned with or part of any changes that happen within the industry. The direct-to-home satellite distribution platform, its primary purpose will be to provide satellite gap filling for the DDT platform, but we also noted that there is quite a lot of interest there to make it available for even commercial free-to-air services delivered by satellite. And there we're working both with the SABC and commercial broadcasters and other partners. Already talked about mobile television, again in the context of accessibility of public broadcasting services. Mentioned that we've agreed with the SABC that we will launch a mobile platform this financial year. We will build applications that make it easy for people anywhere using any device to access our services. And there are a number of technology options that are available, and we will be working with SABC to finalize those and then approach ICASA as appropriate. We in facilitating the future positioning enabling the current signal distribution for a digital multimedia platform or future. The key component there is a what we call a multimedia content management and distribution system that will continue providing basic broadcasting services, but will be able to provide any service as required by any commercial broadcaster, community broadcaster, or the public broadcaster. We started ourselves in terms of on one hand broadcasting media, and then on the other hand government and enterprise solutions. And in this area, we focus on providing connectivity services and also making our facilities available to the broader industry. With regard to broadband, we've positioned our VSET operation, connectivity operation, in the continuum of broadband as one, on one hand, a gap filler in places where terrestrial broadband will not be available. We are doing so working with other stakeholders in the SOE ICT ecosystem, such as CETA. We are engaging with Broadband Infraco. We work with provincial departments, particularly of education, provincial departments of economic development. at the time when we built the national wireless broadband network in accordance with the national broadband plan from the department, we'll then be able to substitute VSAT as appropriate for general broadband services. I mentioned earlier that under this area also we make our facilities available. We have started a process of formalizing our availability of our facilities, working with the CASA to make sure that we are fully compliant with all the facilities leasing regulations, and making sure that we fortify our facilities for broader access by the rest of the industry. The flagship projects, DTT, being the key one. We noted that the minister mentioned in early January, in January of this year, that the launch of the DTT will be in the third quarter of 2012. At the end of this financial, of the past financial year, at the end of March 2012, we had reached 60.9% population coverage on DVB-T2. We had covered 96% of Gauteng, 92% of Northwest. We covered every province by 30% or more. That's population coverage. The next journey.
Will this be of, I've been patiently trying to sum up this, but I can't take it anymore. We can't keep on mentioning provinces without saying anything about Mpumalanga. That's becoming difficult for me to keep quiet. We are busy mentioning all other provinces, but nothing from Mpumalanga. What's going on?
We have covered Mpumalanga, Chairperson. Our target for the next financial year is to move from the 60% to just over 80% population coverage. We've also noted the tight timelines and the need for coordination by many entities in this complex multi-stakeholder program, that's being the DTT program. We responded to the shareholder, the minister, on a challenge on how can we assist the rest of the ecosystem to better utilize resources to ensure as efficiently as possible uptake and usage of DTT. In this respect, the minister asked us to look at potentially a provincial rollout that will see at any point in time within a period of a number of weeks all resources focused on any particular program. The program would then allow for regionalized digital switch-ons, which would then also allow for regionalized analog switch-ons. And we've noted, I mean, in developing this program, we also benchmarked it around with the rest of the world about how DTT is happening. In that respect, we have designed and submitted to the shareholder, submitted to our customers, and a program, a regional rollout program. In the financial year, we will roll out into and finish Limpopo. We will finish Free State. We'll finish Mpumalanga. We'll finish KZN. We then, just towards the end of the financial year, we'll then move into the Eastern Cape. That we may do around March or April. And then we'll finish the what will be remaining of Northwest, and then Western Cape, and finally Northern Cape. I must state that Northern Cape has been stated as a priority for a number of reasons, particularly one being in support of the SKA program. And the reason why it's there is simply a project reason on the basis of the infrastructure that is there. But in response particularly to the SKA, we are ready to respond if we are asked to switch off the SKA area early and provide services to the Northern Cape. Must note that we provided the information around the households that will be affected by the cleanup of the SK area to the department, and the support for subsidies is stated, or the provision of subsidies for satellite reception of the broadcast services is stated in the PDM policy. And whatever the case may be, the people of the Northern Cape, particularly around the SK area, will be able to receive television services as soon as the set-top box are available. The signal will have been on air much earlier. Very quickly go through the financials. The CFO will provide more detail around that. On the capital side of the project, we are fully funded. We did make a request to fully fund it on the basis of the current project, which is to essentially migrate the existing infrastructure that we have to digital terrestrial. We did make a request to National Treasury in the previous financial year, and National Treasury responded with full funding for the capital project. Part of that funding is actually in the financial year 2014-2015. We did not get the required funding for OPEX, which is the dual, which is support for dual illumination. When the DOC presented this morning, in fact, yes, we did ask for 140 million for dual illumination. That's the money that the department had made, put up earlier this morning. There was some money that were originally that were provided in the previous years, and we believe that for the next 2 years, assuming a deadline of December 2013, that the shortfall on the dual elimination will be around 83 million, and there's a bit of surplus on the capital project that we'll use for incidentals. So the shortfall that you're looking at right now is 83 million. However, I must state also that in the next financial year, we are still fully funded both on the capital side and also on the OPEX side. The broadband on page 60, I think suffice to say the DOC did confirm, the department did confirm today that the project, earlier today, that the project was has been stopped until the broadband strategy and broadband plan is finalized. And we have made, we have noted the report of the committee, the concern that Centec has not done much to fulfill its public service mandate around the National Wireless Broadband Plan, but we will provide the support to the department in the to ensure that the broadband plan is completed as quickly as possible so that we can undertake our infrastructure rollout mandate. The key performance area on page 64, in the corporate plan, we have put them in yearly format for the 3 years of the MTF program. We have we were subsequently advised by the department last week that we should provide a quarterly view of our KPIs for the first year of the MTF period, and we have provided honourable members with a quarterly view in front of the document is sitting in front of the honourable members for further deliberation. The low power project, I must say that in aligning our project with the SABC, SABC has listed 100 low power sites in every year of the 3 year period. We are working together towards a cumulative figure at the end of this financial year of 200 sites, with those being both what we have the low power, low cost, that's LPLC, and also self-help sites that have collapsed. The combination of these numbers there in the first year and the existing base of low power sites that we've rolled out in the past year will then get us to the cumulative figure of 200. and then thereafter we'll then be fully aligned on a year-to-year basis with SAPC with 100 site interventions per year. We've also put the number of sites at which we are going to roll out on behalf of the, together with the SAPC, different SAPC language services. Our program expands again services such as Ukozi, diversifying them into provinces beyond their traditional boundaries. We will continue connecting schools with VSET, again in anticipation again of using the broadband project to do so with a terrestrial intervention. The DTT project, again, the target is 80% in the first year, according and in alignment with the province that I mentioned earlier. We'll continue maintaining our existing network services at the highest levels feasible, and again, we are in agreement with our customers as embedded in our SLAs. We noted that previously Centec never in its corporate plan had a specific target on the spend on BE, particularly level 4 and above, and we have set ourselves for this year a target of 50%, that then increases over the next 2 years. We've also set a target on support for qualifying SMEs as defined, and also improving our BE rating. The finalization of tariff models in alignment with the Act on differentiation, again around the different categories of broadcasters, will be completed with everything by the, certainly within the quarter, and we're certainly on track to do so. The month we've done the work with the CASA, and as we speak, communication is going out to community broadcasters, existing community broadcasters, on our new tariffs, and also going to, as I mentioned earlier, the broadcasters that are not using Centec to try and get them onto the Centec platform. The moving along, we have set targets for financial sustainability, customer satisfaction, our CSI initiatives. We'll continue to provide connectivity to schools at the cost of Centec, and do so in all provinces over the next financial year. Big focus on our internal skills capacity, focus on leadership programs at all levels of the organization, making sure that we have succession plan policies that are very well thought through, not only addressing the current needs but also looking forward into the future as the world changes, and try to implement them as quickly as possible. I mean, this does not mean that we do not have won't have succession plans until the policies have been set. This is an opportunity to review the policies for the future while we implement succession planning in the normal course of work. Reviewing all our the skills profiles or the skills required to implement the strategy, looking at the existing skills that we have within the organizations against the requirements, and then developing our people to be able to fully and effectively provide services to achievement of our goals. Financially, we the CFO will go into details about that. We'll provide more detail around that. I must say that one of the things that we've done is embed on page 72, embed risk management across the organization at all levels of the organization. And that is a work in progress, and we'll continue putting focus on it. We have a a view of what you're going to be doing per quarter in the first year. We will probably take questions about the quarterly targets. If I may, through the chair, then the CFO will then take over the financial section.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I will go through the budget for Centec for the period 2012-2013 financial year as approved by the board. In terms of revenue projections for 2012-2013 financial year, we are budgeting revenue of 971 million against the forecast of 801 million, which is showing a 21% increase. In terms of operating cost, we are budgeting 797 million against the forecast of 521 million, which shows a growth of 53%. In terms of the major components of our operating expenses,
Chair, my apologies. I'm a bit lost. I can't find those pages unless we're going back to the document. But it's not in the presentation. Mine stops on page 77.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly the one we were given this morning. It was maybe the old one.
Can we get the right presentation and where we are, probably?
In the document you have, it will be page 75. Page 75. Yeah. Page 75 in the document you have.
Do we have the document? From 75.
Page 75.
Okay. From 74. Do you have page 74? It might not look nice if it's black and white. Yeah, but the color for 74. It's the color one, like this one. But if it's black and white, it looks the same though. There is no color differentiation. But
to have it. No. I know sometimes this coloring, you know, to use the same black and white, you know, that's a problem. They don't look alike. Do you have it now, members? 70? CFO, probably when you take us through, just mention the pages so that we can follow where you are.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm now on page 75. In terms of operating expenditure, the major component of operating expenditure is satellite rental, which we're budgeting at 101 million against 80 million, which we forecasted for the last financial year, and that shows a growth of about 25%. Another major component of operating cost is energy cost, which we are budgeting at 77 million. Against what we forecasted last year of 56 million, and that shows a growth of about 37%. Another major component of operating expenditure is our operations maintenance, which we are budgeting at 72 million against the forecast for last year of 32 million, and it's an increase of about 122%. The biggest component of our operating expenditure is our personal cost, which for the 2012-13 financial year, we are budgeting 342 million against the budget for last year, which was 253 million. And that shows a growth rate of about 35%. And the increase for personal cost is mainly due
to the new structure that has been approved by the board for implementation, and also for the filling of vacant post, that will contribute to that 35% increase. For EBITDA, which is earnings before interest, tax, depreciation and amortization, we have budgeted 174 for the 2012-13 financial year, against the forecast for last year of 280 million. And that shows a decrease of about 38%. And for the EBIT, which is earnings before tax, we are budgeting 117 million, which is against the forecast for last year of 276 million, which shows a decrease of 58%. The earnings after tax for the 2012-13 financial year is 58 million against what we have forecasted for last year, which was 178 million. And that shows a decrease of about 67%. Then I go to the next page, Honorable Chair, which is page 76, and it's entitled Balance Sheet. Our projected balance sheet for the 2012-13 financial year.
You've been talking about those numbers until the last one, then you go to them. What does that mean? All these numbers you're talking about, what does that mean? Before we ask you later, if you can just also, what does that mean to the financials of the organization? But you can proceed. Just don't talk to the numbers only. Just also put the flesh a little bit, so that we don't ask you too much.
Okay, thank you, Chair. If I go back, Chair, to page 75, just to give explanation to the numbers. If you look at earnings after tax, which for 2012-13 financial year, we budgeted 58 million against the forecast for the previous financial year of 176. You may ask the question, why? What is causing that decrease? The main reason is that in the previous financial year, there were some challenges with supply chain, so some of the activities that had to take place did not take place in that financial year. As a result, they had to be moved into this current financial year. As a result, you see a lot of expenditure coming through in this current financial year. As a result, you see that our earnings after tax has decreased from 178 million to 58 million. But otherwise, from the financial performance of Centec, things they're not looking bad, they're looking good. We have not budgeted for a deficit. In terms of the balance sheet, which is showing our financial position, mainly we talk to the solvency and liquidity of Centec. On page 76, in terms of our property, plant and equipment, we are forecasted to have a property plant worth 580 million by 2012-13 financial year, which is mainly our asset, which we call an current asset. In terms of cash, which is showing our liquidity, our ability to be able to pay our debtors, our creditors, as when they fall due, we have a cash, we are projecting cash in our bank of 1.2 billion. Included in that 1.2 billion cash is about 550 million, which relates to the National Wireless Broadband. And that funding has been frozen until there is a strategy on the National Wireless Broadband Plan, as discussed by DOC in the earlier presentation. In terms of capital and reserves, which is our net asset, we are projecting to have a billion rand of our of net asset, which is our capital and reserve. What that means, it means we are solvent as Centec to the extent of 1 billion. In terms of current liability, you will see that 550 million that I talked about earlier on, that man is sitting there as current liability, as current liability, until such time that there's a decision in terms of how do we proceed with the National Wireless Broadband Plan. In terms of total equity and liabilities, we are projecting to have total equity and liabilities of 1.9 billion, which is same as our total asset above, which is 1.9 billion. Just to summarize on that speech, on that slide, Centec is solvent and liquid going forward. When you look now at our cash flows on page 77, Honorable Chair, we are projecting 128 of cash to be generated from operations, from our normal operating activities. We are projecting to generate 128 million of cash. In terms of cash that we anticipate to invest in our investing activities, we are projecting to invest about 689 million into investing activities. And in terms of cash that we're going to generate from our financing activities, mainly which will be grant from the Department of Communication, we are projecting to receive about 326 million worth of cash. At the end, we've got cash at the end of the period, which is 1.2 billion, which ties back to our cash and cash equivalent in our balance sheet. Thank you, Chair. I think that's it from my side.
You know, when we are talking about the solvency, liquidity, and so on, the CEO just look at me and laugh. And I don't know what he was laughing, but he might be close to it. Why he was laughing and so on. When you were CFO, solvency, liquidity, and so on. So he just look at me and laugh. CEO, can you explain?
Chairperson, I think the look was, I mean, two years ago, I think, in 2010, Centec did have a problem around solvency. And I was just looking up to say that, in fact, no one can say that Centec is, in fact, in a very healthy state. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I think at this point in time, we will be entertaining questions on the presentations that we made.
No, members are saying they are okay. They get everything. There's no question. That's why they're not using their hands. See. That's what it means. Oh, Honorable Singh.
Thank you, Chairperson. There are a couple of things that I don't understand about the finances. According to the estimates of national expenditure, the department is giving you lost it now. 925 million, and you say that your total income for the year is 971 million, and yet nowhere in the figures do I actually see that grant money coming in. Now, is your 971 million, is that totally from your licensing fee from your commercial activity? Where does the government's money go into this thing? Because it's not at all clear to me as to where you don't break down the income, and I couldn't work out the sums there. Another thing on your income statement, pulled out a couple of interesting increases that you thought we should notice, but you didn't say anything at all about the increase in the something that's down here as other office costs, which have gone up by 306%. Now, can you tell us what other office costs are and why they have increased? Because we've forecast for 2012. And then budgeted, so I'm not quite sure what you're talking about there. And the other one, financial write-offs and charges, has also gone up, which is quite considerable. What are you writing off? Because that's a huge amount of money. A bit about the the dual illumination. You said that you don't have the budget for it yet. You're quite happy that it'll come. Bearing in mind that digital is supposed to switch on at the end of September, Who will be able to switch on? What will they receive and where? You know, which you know, provinces are obviously just the main sort of urban areas. And then talking about the set-top boxes, these aren't, are any of these going to be ready for digital switchover in, at the end of the year? Because apparently it takes 9 months to assemble these things, and we don't yet have agreement on their technical specifications. You've talked about the rollover for hopefully rolling funds for the switchover. I hope that you obviously seem to be a little more optimistic than the rest of the country. And also just wanting to know the court case that you lost for spillover to Botswana to the Sigon. You don't mention a cost anywhere that I can find as to what that is going to cost you. I think I'll leave it there for now. I also want to talk at some stage about the disability schools, but I'll leave it there for now.
Thank you, Chairperson. I see that in your presentation you brought down the tariff for community radios. Okay? So I'd like to know if you can maybe just give me the cost of the tariff paid by the big TV stations, for example, like SABC, compared to the community TVs. Because on our oversight visits, we were hearing that the worry or concern about the high cost of the tariff. So I'd just like to know, to compare the two, what is the comparison in tariff between the national SABC, for example, and a community media? Then I want to know, Syntec, do you play a role in assisting the community radios to be sustainable? Because it seems like instead of them collapsing, do you play a role in sustaining them? Yeah, that's my question. And then you said something about digital migration will include all televisions. I've also heard when we did the oversight visit that the community TVs were worried about digital migration. So I'd like to know if they are part of the digital migration and will it cost them as well to be part of the whole digital migration. And then thirdly, I'm happy to see slide 15. That one of your services will be providing broadcasting services to people with disabilities. But I'm quite interested in mobile TV. Will mobile TV also be accessible for people with disabilities? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to start at the beginning, and I'm referring exclusively to the actual document. And may I say, Chairperson, I presume then that this will be tabled as an annexure to the document, because I mean, this gives those breakdowns that we need quarterly. So we don't have to retract the full document. Chair, having said that, and starting right at the beginning, mention was made that CENTEC made inputs on the National Development Plan. You'll know that Parliament as a whole and the different clusters had workshops with the officials from the National Development Commission. And one of the things that, in fact, my colleague here picked up and raised, and they acknowledged it, was that not enough emphasis in that National Development Plan is made on ICT, whereas ICT will play a major role in all the infrastructure bill that's mentioned there and a host of other priorities. But we certainly picked up that there wasn't enough emphasis or it wasn't given enough of a priority overall in the plan. And it would appear, since nothing was mentioned by you guys, that you obviously don't feel the same way. Having said that, going on to the sustainability, because mention was made that, 2010, they were somewhat in a different situation financially, and I think that's when the 1 billion rand guarantee was made and so on. You do mention, on as far as sustainability is concerned, that during this MTF period, that some of the key parameters that define and will determine the sustainability of the company have not been confirmed in a policy and regulatory framework. Can you give us an indication of what these are, how serious it is, and obviously what you're doing in order to minimize this particular risk? And it may very well be under your risk management, I'm not too sure at this point. Chair, then I want to rush forward. I notice on your when you look at the sort of the market environment and you look at radio market outlook, for example, where advertising just has a very steep incline, that the government grant is very flat. Now, do you anticipate that that's going to remain as it is, or in fact even take a dip? And I'm not sure what effect that will have on your sustainability as well. Then, I'm going to rush through some of these, Chair. You know, with regard to the tariff reduction, which is obviously welcome because that was a continuous sustainable query raised from community TV stations and based or linked to the question that my colleague asked at the back regarding commercial TV stations in particular. Has there been a reduction in tariff for them as well? And if so, what sort of percentage are we looking at? I assume that obviously the tariffs were different, that they weren't based on the same. You can't really have a tariff for a community TV station similar to what you have for a commercial TV station. But equally, has there been a reduction? Because I think perhaps with the economic situation being what it is, some of them have also been battling. Then, in terms of your DTT, now Chair, I must take issue here. Mpumalanga is included, but I don't see anything about Gauteng. That's completely left off. There's only 8 provinces, even with your map. So are you saying Gauteng is going to get no coverage? It's simply not mentioned.
Don't want to pay toll gate.
No percentage.
No
Then, I'm just trying to rush through here, Chair. I just want to get to a few of the targets. Your DTT, and maybe this is where Gauteng comes in, but if you look at your, and I'm just going to look at the document once again, I'm going to get confused if I start, or maybe I should look at it as well. But in any case, you're looking at 80% for the current financial year, then you're looking at, in terms of percentage population cover, then you're looking at 84% and eventually 86%. Now, I think the current TV coverage is 92%, so obviously you need to aim for at least that. Preferably, obviously, more. So are you happy with that? Is that not going to, in the over the medium-term framework, going to at least reach the 92% that is currently being covered? And maybe, like I said, that's where Gauteng is being left out. So. Chair, going on to your maintenance of your positive free cash flow from operations. And you've got, and you must help me if it's in here, I didn't pick it up, but in terms of the financial year, when you look at your performance target, and over the MTF, you've got 3x. So I'm not too sure what you mean by, if you say 3x something, what is it? In other words, perhaps what is current? Your target may be 3x current. So what do we use as a base for that, please? I'm using the document, and I'm on page 48, I think it is. Page 48, yes. Right at the bottom of that page. And it talks about effective management of working capital. So it's, you know, number of times available, unrestricted cash, but three times, perhaps it's 3x the monthly payroll, I'm not too sure. Continuing on from that, Chair, I'm getting to the nitty-gritty, and that's the money side of it. My colleague has covered some of the questions regarding the grant, the money that's in the that Treasury appears to be transferring to you, which is 925. A question that I need to ask you here, you continuously, and in your document you've got it as well, but you continuously made a comparison between budget 2013 and forecast 2012, and yet you've also got figures for budget 2012. Now, I would imagine that we would be interested in the final 2012, which would, is that the budget, or is it, are you forecasting that that would be ultimately either your income or your expenditure? I just don't want to work with forecast. I'd rather work with something that I know. I mean, we've got to compare budget to budget rather than a forecast to budget, unless you can tell me those are your final audited figures that you've put as forecast. And that was a general comment, because your variances refer to the forecast and then to the 2013 budget. And in some cases, it won't be as high if you look at the actual budget for 2012. Again, the with regards to your personnel costs, which we accept that it's going to go up, you've indicated you're going to be filling critical posts. Could you give us an idea, perhaps in a percentage form, the increase in personnel? That will give certainly me an idea of whether, because, I mean, you must admit 35% increase in the salary bill is quite high. But I can understand if it's related to additional posts that's going to be filled. It's not just your existing personnel, because then I'd love to come and work for you and get a 35% increase. But I know that's not the case, so I just want to clarify that. I've got a similar query to my colleague. I thought in previous communications with you where you do presentations, I was led to believe, and maybe I'm wrong, that the income that you derive from licenses, you pay over to Treasury. That's the thought that I've had, and perhaps I'm wrong, but you indicate in terms of your revenue, you indicate, and I don't know if this is licenses, but you indicate radio FM, your TV, etc. So do I have this wrong? You don't pass it on to Treasury, you actually keep that revenue? Yeah, I've touched on the forecast. Then, yeah, your legal fees, although it's not in the big scheme of things, it's not a huge amount, but, you know, it's part of the risk side that you appear to have quite a number, and that, what's it there, 3, 2, 4, 5, 8, 10, 12 possible litigation with various entities or individuals or whatever. Now, this is obviously of some concern. I mean, one would want to see that you reduce that. I don't know the reasons, therefore, there may very well be sound reasons why this is happening, but I would like to think that in the going forward, that one would want to minimize those. Then going on to page 65, Chairperson, which is where the assets and the equity and liabilities are, you intend, or you still have a debt of, what's it, I think, I don't know, 55 million or thereabouts of your loan. The 1 billion rand loan, you're going to pay it off 21 million, I think, in this financial year, and 24 in the next financial year, if I'm not correct. But I don't see that anywhere as a liability.
On our thing, is this thing of Signal distributing to SABC, so there is then an impact to them because everything is two-way. But these are not the billion people, it's SABC. They've got no loan beyond this one. It's just that because they are linked in terms of the signal. See, so probably, yeah. But
Chair, I need some guidance. I seem to recall, forgive me, we go through a lot of documents, but I seem to recall I've read in this document about the payment of 21 billion and 25 million. And unless I'm confusing it with another document. If I'm wrong, then okay.
No, it's fine. Let's let that respond into that. I'm just verifying the government guarantees on SABC.
Okay, you've now completely thrown a curveball at me, Chair. Okay. Yeah, and then lastly, I think I've come to your almost, I don't know, 50-odd pages here of the fraud prevention plan. It's quite exhaustive. And I wonder how many of your personnel actually go through this and know what's expected of them. I'd like to, is this a relatively new document? Is it something that's been with the company for a while? Do you have it in a smaller version where people, because I doubt very much if you had to give this to Parliament, this is an aside document. I promise you, if 10% of the MPs actually went through every page here, it would be a lot. And it probably wouldn't be any different within an organization like yours. So it may be very impressive having 50-odd pages of a fraud prevention plan, but is there a sort of a bite-sized thing that people can relate to? And do you have workshops or anything to work through these things so people are aware of the minor things that could be construed as fraud, as per your document? Thank you.
Honorable Tavis.
Thank you very much, Chair. Firstly, let me thank Santam for the good presentation. It really shows hard work. But Chair, on page 12 of the presentation...
I'm just listening. No one is called a gentleman now. Okay, it's fine. It's a fair explanation, I suppose. You can proceed.
No, Chair, on page 12 of the presentation, on the issues of the ECA, I think it's not for the first time Santec is raising this issue. And I've always asked Santec that just empower us. Which laws in the ECA you are not agreed with? Take us through the approach that we must take, your recommendation, so that we can be able to assist via the legislature, because we are the ones responsible for those acts. But if you keep on putting a statement that this act is a problem, we don't know how does it affect you as a problem. On page 30, Chairperson. On page 30, under the Broadcasting Digital Migration Policy, there's a sentence there, the first bullet, that the DTT network will not fully replicate the existing analog terrestrial coverage of 92% as issue of, and therefore the remaining area should be covered by a direct-to-home DTH satellite platform. To me, as a person from rural areas, obviously I'll be interested. Which areas will be covered by what? A statement like this doesn't speak to me, because I'll always have interest to check if my constituency is it covered or not. On page 50, the metric I always cite is Santec around the net. I think the CEO knew that they were, as much as there's a map, I'll have something to ask, and it's always also the same question. That this yellow, no coverage. I fear your presentation, I might not come from Northern Cape, but this yellow Northern Cape, really, it's so painful. It's so painful because even if Northern Cape, we can have challenges that you have also highlighted, but the fact is that those people are South African citizens. They must be treated as such. So not always when I see a map like this, with yellow throughout the province, my heart bleeds a lot. We must do something very quickly. And my province also is just like a little bit of greenish. I cannot leave that chair, you know. I cannot. But that is just a joke. My main concern is around Northern Cape. Because I thought, because we were told that this DTT thing will unleash everything. I thought your main focus areas would be areas like Northern Cape. Gauteng and these other metros have benefited a lot on many things. So I thought this DTT will just focus on those areas that have been disadvantaged before. Now we are still going to those metros. Northern Cape is still left as it is. It will always be the last. It's not fair. I'm saying this because I'm a public representative. When we want votes, we go to them. We don't say we have these challenges. They will ask, can we still vote? So I want to come back to Parliament in 2014, but I cannot be sitting here and speak for Gauteng and KZN. I'll speak for all nine provinces of South Africa. On page 64, I think it will be the last one, Chair. I don't have a Bible, I'm not like one of those things.
Yes, no, come with me.
No, I think, let me just, but yeah, it's regarding the Dinaledi schools. Again, all Dinaledi schools. When you say to me, whether it's 50 or it's 100 or it's 2,000, for as long as you don't tell me where are these schools, you're not talking to me. Because it might be 100,000 schools in something in KZN. The rest of the 8 provinces are left out. It might not be 100% your responsibility, but if you can just share with us, where have you made that coverage? And I'll share those that.
Any other hand? Honorable Ndanzi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Centec, for the interesting presentation. But to me, as someone from Alfred Nzo, Alfred Nzo, district municipality means nothing. Now, from the values I had that you act with fairness, and I want to know, how do you identify places where to go to for broadcasting, for broadcasting services to people? Because in our area, we wish to watch TV. There's no coverage. In as much as I was worried when I heard that there's something that is going to be received by schools, I don't know what will happen to those schools which have no coverage. I'm not going to be known, otherwise I'm covered by other members. Thank you.
Any other member? Before I go back to the Bible on the stage.
My question, just to give some clarity and on my last question about the borrowing, I've in fact found it, and it does say DBSA, the 45, but it does say that there's a payment of 21 million due at the end of this financial year. So my question was really that I don't see it in your liabilities.
Okay. Any other member? Okay, it's fine. Probably CEO and the chairperson when you respond. I'm dealing with what I do when I go to oversight. I normally say when I go to oversight, I'm going there to gather issues for solutions, not just to go and talk to people without any outcome. Then, look, I've seen somewhere on page 64, you seem to be addressing that. The issue of, I normally call it, how can we revolutionalize the signal? I'm raising this question because we went to one area, dominated area. They can't get KONN, but they get RSG. How do we deal with that? Because clearly there's a problem in terms of the alignment of the signals and so on. But I see on page 64 you seem to somewhere where you talk about expansion of the public broadcasting services transmitter network. I assume that starts to address some of those particular matters. So, but I'm raising it because we seem to be at a point where we need a national plan on how do we deal with this matter. You see, this piecemeal approach does not help if we don't have the broader national plan on how do we turn around these particular issues and so on, so that we indeed we do what you say we want to do to expand it. So I just want to say whether you have some thoughts around that, how do you turn this thing around and so on, because if you are going to do 8 and 5, 2012, 8, 2013, 5, when will I listen to Kuala Kuala when I'm at the Western Cape? So it might take 20 years, I suppose. I'm not sure how long it will take that if I'm here, I can also listen to Kuala Kuala FM, the one which I only listen when I'm in Nelspruit. Now, that's what I'm talking about, whether we have that broader plan and so on, but I see you are moving towards that particular matter. I think it's one matter which always when you go to oversight, that matter comes up. It also comes up from the stations themselves, your SABC radio station and so on. They are equally frustrated. I don't know who provided the solution. I thought that you can provide that particular solution, but I know that their budget has a constraint and there are things related to that and so on. But I'm just interested on the broader plan. Probably SABC is coming here on the 2nd. Will be able to further engage with them in terms of what is their thinking around that. Because currently, I think it's not fair that people can have a transmitter for RSG and not be robbed to have their vernacular language transmitter. It's just, I don't understand how does that happen in the democratic transition and so on. I understood 20 years ago it was normal, but now it seems to be abnormal. CEO, you can respond to the question when you come back from tea. Yeah, for 10 minutes, that's tea, right, and come back, and then you can continue the response. I can only hear Monde talking outside. CEO? Can you take us through to Monte?
The problem, the current problem for radio is not so much
it is still, there's a bit of just access to radio services, you know, where people don't have access to FM radio services. That is still an issue. We do understand that FM radio is available to more than 95% of the population. But any person who does not have access to radio services, that is still a big problem. We are addressing that with the low power project, and I'll go into the details to see where we are and then the decision making around that. But also identify that the problem of radio, really the bigger problem, is the problem of diversity. When do we move beyond the pre-1994 borders about radio services? I think we've identified together with the SABC. First of all, in terms of the mandate, we have agreed with the SABC that is a common mandate between ourselves. We have agreed that we should start that program. We're starting it fairly modestly in terms of the numbers that we have here. But we've modeled the bigger problem. We've also noted that from an SABC point of view, there is a question of affordability. To what extent will SABC be able to afford the signal distribution services there? But having said that, just thinking about the bigger picture, we previously submitted a proposal to the SABC, and I think the acceptance is really based on pending finalization of how to fund this fundamentally universal access problem around language diversity on the radio waves. What we've said with the SABC, we have looked at the coverage areas of the different services, for example, Okozi. And then scan the frequencies around the country to look at where potentially Okozi can be expanded. And this is a proposal that we then gave to the SABC, and we'll probably be finalizing it fairly quickly. And I mean, these are kind of areas where Okozi can be expanded. Know that in around Cape Town, there is no... just based on the current frequency plan method and framework, there is no frequencies in Cape Town, but I'll come to the broader issue of the master plan. So this is an attempt to start diversifying the radio waves. Similarly, we've looked at Somweneni, and then we said, you know, we can start diversifying it. We've looked at Tobela, start diversifying it again into the different parts of the country, and so on and so forth. I think generally, I think we've accepted the SABC. I mean, and there are other examples and so on. I think what we recognize with the SABC is it's a long-term project. It's a big project. It's limited in some way by frequency availability on FM. But it's a project that needs to be done, and we'll have to think quite a lot about how it gets funded as a universal access project. We said that let's get started this year as modestly as we can, and then over this financial year, then we can probably prepare bigger plans with formal agreement on funding. The in support, while we are doing this, we are also doing the low power project. The number of sites that are in our KPIs, we have looked at most of them already. We've noted the case particularly of Northern Cape, and if one looks at the places in this financial year where we will be going to, you'll notice that later on there is quite a lot of Northern Cape. If you start looking at this, you realize you start looking at us providing a lot more coverage in the Northern Cape, again in recognition of the gap in the northern part of the Northern Cape that was in the map. That gap is really for DCT, but it also equally applies to radio. Now the question is the decision making around this low power project. We'll see that the recent oversight visits to Mpumalanga, we've already included those in the project. There are necessarily three sources of input into this. The final decision is really somewhere where we sit with the SABC, looking at maximizing the public benefit with the money that you're spending. And maximizing the public benefit is covering as many people as possible. And there could be other considerations. What we have is we have a planning unit that has traditionally looked a little bit ahead, maybe 3 years ahead, planned and looked at all the gaps in coverage. They have their own data. Then we also have our operations people that are increasingly working with the SABC and ICASA employees in the regions. So the regional operations structures also provide some input. And then the oversights also provide the input. I mean, we do believe that by the time the honorable members go to on oversights, we actually should have the plans already. It's not the time to be picking up problems. So we have agreed with the SABC that this method of working kind of broke down in the last 3 years or so. But we have agreed with the SABC that the sense of planning division will be the primary provider of input and suggestions on where coverage is. We will develop the master plan. Master plan being, where are the coverages, what are the populations, and then we do that. And then we sit to the SABC, and also we said, we agree with the SABC that the decision of where to go and what radio services should be there is a really strategic decision that at least has to be done at SABC Group Exco level. And the Google CEO has agreed to that, so that previously it was being done at a project technical level. And we think we'll be able to optimize coverage and filling up the gaps over the next year and then certainly moving forward. As I mentioned, the idea is not to do it piecemeal. The idea is to look at the entire country, look at every pocket of non-coverage, identify how many people are there, and then create plans that talk to people and they're not just reactive. The on television, the coverage what determines the digital coverage versus analog coverage. Previously we noted that there are cases in Limpopo, North KZN and Eastern Cape that seem like they are going to lose a little bit of coverage as we go to DCT. And we are working with the shareholder. We've been asked to look at this problem and how to fix it, and we're still gathering data and reconfiguring the problem statement. One thing that we know is that the assignment, there is historical context to this. Most of the services, SABC 1 and 2 in particular, were assigned on VHF. Essentially, the properties of VHF is that they have, VHF has very long and wider coverage, everything else constant. So it covers more people at the same level of power. What happens is that the DTT is on slightly higher frequencies, UHF, and the key property of that is that it has shorter coverage. Somewhere in there, we then, just because of the frequency plan, and we couldn't use VHF because it was fully assigned to analog services, for DTT that is, you have the phenomena that you lose some coverage. However, you also, digital also has the ability to recreate much better analog quality. So the quality service, I mean, when you are close to a tower, maybe in Johannesburg, or next to a tower, you get very, very good quality of service. And in fact, your analog service could almost be as good as digital. And then as you move out and as you've seen in the oversight, you start getting very, very low quality and very, very cloudy service. That's great C reception. What DSAT is able to do is actually to pre-establish grade C reception to be grade A reception, and that's the benefit of it. So what we have in terms of the population coverage dynamics is that in the picture that I have there is around Mangaung, where we do have the signal link, that the green is where, for example, you have SABC3, and that's an old analog UHF. The blue is the benefit of digital, so that's expanded coverage just based on digital. The red is the old VHF, and everything else constant right now, that's where there's some signal lost on the red portion. So green to blue is a benefit, and red to blue is a bit of a loss. And the question that we have right now that you are working with the department on is, how to minimize the rate as much as possible. And based on the current, the existing sites, that means that we are not going to build new sites. But we've also been challenged to say, you know, think out of the box and think about what would happen if you build new sites for much higher terrestrial coverage. In any case, what the in anticipation of this, we did ask last year, during the year, we asked the department in the BDM policy review to, you know, be very, very specific about satellite as a gap filler in order to make sure that there is 100% access for the services. And we did get all of that. I mean, what will happen is that at launch, every place that does not get the signal, either because it has never gotten a terrestrial signal or because it's in that red portion that we saw, will be able to access at a minimum the public broadcasting services and potentially even the free-to-air commercial services at a minimum via satellite. That's guaranteed. And that will be guaranteed from day one as part of the implementation of the policy. What we did say was that then the key policy question is about the subsidization of the set-top boxes and the equipment for receiving DTT satellite, or receiving the broadcast services by satellite. And the video policy does state that government will look into how to extend the subsidy scheme to areas outside of the SKA area. And that is stated again in the BDM policy. So I think the in answering the question of whether there is 100% access to free-to-air public broadcasting services, the answer is yes, there will be. There will be 100% access. Even though the question that we've been asked to do is to try and roll out as much on the terrestrial platform as possible and provide services that way. Community television,
or community broadcasting, the times, the I mean, just in summary, the reduction in television tariffs is about 33%, and the reduction in radio tariffs is about 65% for community. And this is in alignment with the provision in the ECA that says, as a common carrier, we don't have rights, we have obligations to be able to support the different categories of broadcasters. And we build the tariff reduction from ground up, you know, looking at you know, the different inputs into the costing for that. We have not done this. I mean, we have not provided any similar reduction to what traditionally the commercial and the public broadcasters have been getting traditionally. There is a contract with the SABC that has certain specific items in it. You know, the master transmission agreement was signed some time ago. But we, working with the council, we saw the council presentation to the committee when the council was here on the, I think on the 17th, working with the council on, you know, the implementation of a tariff model. The board has approved a specific cost-based tariff model for DTT, you know, saying we could apply the same tariff model to the existing service, and it's cost-based. And has an element, and one of the elements of it is that it has the economies of scale in it. As the area of operation expands, then the rest of the ecosystem benefits from that. But we are working with the CASA on that. The CASA has opened an inquiry, and we have responded, the industry has responded, and I think we'll be able to deal with this matter by the end of the financial year. The in terms of the cost of community broadcasting versus commercial, and the bulk of our revenue is still towards the public broadcaster, and then commercial broadcasting, and there is very little that sits with the community broadcasters, even though there are a lot more community broadcasters on the in our books. OCBC has 18 or so radio services and then 3 television services. But because they in so many places and they use high power and the operational costs are quite high, the tariffs are related to the cost, they're quite high. And we do have some information about the contribution of what you have there is essentially the contribution to revenue from the different services and the different categories of broadcasters. And you see that on radio, the community radio contributes 4%, and then on television it's 1% to the total revenue base. So what this says is that the tariffs for community broadcasting are substantially less. The tariffs for the public broadcaster. We keep on all of it. Dual elimination, I think the question was who is going to be there in our community broadcasting, our community television broadcasters participating, and are they paying for it? I mean, we're happy to say that for the dual elimination period, we are treating community broadcasters, television broadcasters, the same way as the commercial broadcasters and the public broadcasters. So to the extent that there is dual elimination money to support them, support incumbent broadcasters, then the community broadcasters will benefit from. the in the old PDM policy, the treatment was of community broadcasters was not very very clear in the now repealed DTT regulations. Also, it was not very clear that they should be part of the migration and not wait until analog switch off for community television broadcasters to be there. Right now, on the 60% coverage that we have, we do have 20 TV on air, and that is just based on experiences that are very close to us, and then we are working with other community broadcasters to get them on air. The decoders, the issue of decoders is really lies completely with the department there, within the department. And there is a program plan. I think they will see a lot of positive things coming out. The RFI for manufacturing has come out. The actual final draft of the set-top box standard from the SAPS has come out. The public comments are closing in May. And the department will be more better prepared to provide the detail of the program on availability of set-top boxes. But we are quite certain that when we will be able to support any kind of launch in the third quarter of this of 2012. Okay. The spillover, the issue did go to court. This is an issue between CENTEC and Botswana. CENTEC is appealing for a number of reasons. Including issues about jurisdiction, including issues about the nature of the judgment that was given. In essence, any decoder that ends up in Botswana, no matter how it got there, then CENTEC could essentially take the be liable for that. That's essentially the nature of that. I also note that the judge, in fact, has not produced the reasons for the judgment. I mean, that's been almost 2 months or even more since the judgment, and it's a bit unusual for that to happen. And I mean, it's a very complex case, but they've lost an appeal, even though the reasons have not been provided. Yes. The input to the NDP, we have done it in the context of the current program of the NPC, which is to go to society in general, industry and so on, so civil society, you know, SOEs, everybody, to solicit input on the NDP. Our input was the general context of our corporate plan, which talks about the future, you know, with convergence, the importance of, you know, embedding the usage of ICTs, taking almost as an assumption that we have done universal access, there's broadband in the Vision 2020, for example, of the department, and we're talking Vision 2030, then the issue there is usage and embedding it in learning, in society, in economic development, manufacturing, and so on and so forth. So essentially, it was really an input around our corporate plan. Emphasis on broadcasting and how broadcasting then gets into the ICT value chain. Context, putting that in context with the issue about local open funding. I mean, they are there, they are covered quite extensively in the NDP draft. But what we do on a daily basis is not, I was not put there strongly, and we've done that. Okay. Yeah, just moving then into the financial issues. We have put a lot of budgets for contingency for legal fees. Most of the things that we are dealing with really are legacy. I mean, the Botswana problem is from the past. The list that is in the corporate plan, I think it's on on page 53 of the actual corporate plan document. I mean, all of those things really are us cleaning up the past. And but we have we just have to budget for them for prudency. Okay. The around fraud, there's two structures that have happened. The document is big, and I mean we're streamlining it over time, and you know, making sure that it's something that is chewable by every staff member. But there are two critical things that have happened that are happening in this financial year. Just introduced. The first one at the board level is the establishment of the a social and ethics committee of the board in line with the Companies Act. By the time we printed the corporate plan, the committees were as they were specified here. But the board, with the new members, were reconstructed. So there's a social and ethics committee that is going to provide leadership on streamlining issues around, you know, fraud and so on and so forth, governance issues. Then, on the other hand, the board has adopted the principle of embedding risk management within the organization. We have a risk officer. The risk officer reports into the board currently, and we don't talk about anything. You know, any topic is not finished unless it's dealt with risk, and risk is, you know, we're looking at all risk, including risk from fraudulent activities within our environment. So, yes, it can still be streamlined. It is there as the framework for fraud prevention, detection, and prevention in the organization as we speak. But it's been supported by the other structures. The question there was then around the limitation of the ECA, the CENTEC Act and so on. And yes, I do remember that we did put it last year, and it's here again. I think the difference between what we did last year and now is that we have found some other documents that allow us to be able to that provide a framework for the future. Those are the policy documents that are still surviving, and the policy documents of the country. The ECA is very, very generic. It talks about generic electronic communication services and electronic communication network services. It doesn't say exactly what the role of a CENTEC should be, probably for a good reason. It does define common carrier and give obligations to a common carrier, and we have a license under conversion from the old signal distribution license that retains the common carrier status and the resulting obligations, the ECA. But I think that as the DOC mentioned today, there is a process under going on for ICT policy review. I think that the kind of process that will result in through policy statements or others mechanism, clearer definition of our mandate, and we'll just, I think, work with the policy review process to get guidance from there in the meantime, and take leadership from the shareholder. And then on the choice of where are the schools that we are putting in, we did say 50 schools. The designated schools, there is a schools connectivity program that is run through the department, and it involves a number of stakeholders, and we participate in that. In the meantime, on the other hand, we also work, as we mentioned in the presentation earlier, with the provincial departments of education, where we go and try and work with them to see how we connect schools. We try and essentially we will, as CENTEC, provide, you know, connectivity for free through our CSI program, just so that we can get the the momentum going in our deliberations, in our work with the provincial departments. The provincial departments are typically the ones that then choose the schools where to connect, and typically in the list of the schools you will find a mix of Dinaledi and non-Dinaledi schools. We have connected in this year for this KZN, but also connected a number of schools in Free State. And we do have a program now, and we are extending our footprint into other provinces to diversify our that intervention. Yes, almost every place that we, I mean, the African Zoo, I think, the municipality, I think we should be included in the current law power program with the SABC for this financial year. As I mentioned, there is a decision point at some point about, you know, which are the 100 places where we are going to connect in this project. The places that should be connected, the list is much bigger than 100, and we'll be working with the SABC on how to prioritize. But that will be covered, because we did hear the request from, we got the request last year. The rest will be finalized. Oh, the question I think we were asked about coverage in Gauteng. Yes. Okay. The green portion shows the where we are covered right now. In the green portions, there is a DVB-T2 signal, so Gauteng is covered already. The blue is shows the program moving forward. When you see that we've have covered a very big portion of the northwest. Lots of the majority of the population is there. The parts of Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and so on. Nothing.
The question that I will address is the one relating to the revenue that we generate, whether do we pass that money to National Treasury. Centec is a Schedule 3B entity, which means it generates its own revenue, so it must be able to sustain itself without receiving any grant from the government, as opposed to Schedule 3A, which are purely dependent on the appropriation from National Treasury. So Centec does not pass on this money to National Treasury; it uses it to sustain its business going forward. With regard to the question of office cost, other office cost increases. If you, the honourable member, will note on page 75, with regard to other office cost, the increase in percentage terms is very high. It's 36%. But when you look at the base from which that increase is coming from, it's a very small base. We had a forecast of 157,000. And we've got now for 2013 financial year the budget of 138. The figures are very material, but in terms of the base where they're coming from, you see them as being high, but the figure themselves, if you look at the figure itself, the increase is very minimal. Okay.
Okay. And in terms of financial write-off, what is this? Financial write-off would relate to those expenses, for instance, when it comes year end, we must do things like stock count, asset verification, and all those things. You find that you come, the stock that was there is obsolete, it's no longer usable, so you must write it off. Or you come, you find that asset that was there is no longer there, maybe it's stolen or maybe it's broken, then you must take it off your books. Then that's where they go. They're called financial write-off, so we must write off from our records. Other question? The question is, for now, I'm not sure, we don't have a system, but what we do at year end is that where we go and do a stock count, because every year before the auditors come, we must do that. At that particular point in time, that's when we determine whether something is missing or something is broken. So at that particular point, we have record of what is it that we are actually writing off, whether something is stolen or something which actually has become obsolete. Thank you, Honourable Member. For instance, what we normally do when it comes to asset verification, we were doing asset verification on a sample basis. But since now we are implementing this new DTT tariff model, the auditors have requested that we almost now do the asset verification for all other assets. So that will lead to increase, because now we know almost everything in the company which is obsolete or something that needs to be written off. In terms of the three times where we say our cash flow must cover three times of the payroll cost. Basically, what it means is that it's more of a risk management exercise, where we say we don't want our cash to fall below a level where they can recover three times of our payroll on a monthly basis. It's just more on risk management, because we are saying in the event that we don't have money to pay our staff, we're saying that would be a huge risk. You can afford not to pay your creditors, they'll bug you, they'll phone you, but you fail to pay your staff on time, I'm sure they'll be stressed. So it's more on risk management to say we must guard that all the time to make sure that our cash flow do not fall below that level. And if they fall that below that level, we must do something, because it's a risk indicator. In terms of the forecast and budget comparison, why are we using budget or forecast? Why are we not using actual and so forth? We would have loved to use the actual figures, but at the time when we start to do the budget in about November. And during that time, we don't have audited figures, and audited figures they're going to come somewhere in August. So we must use the best available information at that particular point in time. For instance, at the beginning of the year, we have done the budget, which is the column indicated as budget, which is our budget. But at the time when now we are doing this budget for 2012-2013 financial year, we must look at our budget, whether looking at that budget, are we still going to achieve it? And we say, no, we're not going to achieve it. Then we must refocus. So in October, we take a view over the next few months to say, looking at that particular time, what is that we are going to achieve? As a result, we've got that forecast. Then from that forecast, we do the budget for 2012-2013. But otherwise, if that commission was available at that time, the audited figures, we would use those figures. Going forward, come the financial year end, we'll be audited, and we'll be comparing the actual figures that are audited for 2012 and 2013. At that particular time, we'll be able to qualify. With respect to the loan to DBSA, it's more of an accounting issue. When you look at page 76, because you've got long-term loan and short-term loan. In terms of accounting standard, a long-term loan is a loan that is payable after a year, then you call it long-term. If it's payable within a year, you call them short-term loan. So you move it from long-term to short-term. For DBSA, if you look at slide 76, you notice that there's non-current liabilities. And there's below that, there's loan and borrowings. That loan and borrowings relate to long-term loan, which is DBSA. At that particular point in time, in 2012, it was sitting at 23, but that was a long-term portion. A short-term portion, you see it under current liabilities, which is 21, that the board member was asking about, is 21, which means for 2012, the DBSA loan was about 44 million. But in terms of presentation, in terms of accounts, we must split it. That one which is long-term and that one is short-term. That's why you see 23 on top is long-term and 21 at the bottom, which is short-term. So under 2013, you only have got one short-term, which will be payable in the next 12 months. So that is a DBSA loan. I think that's the from finances.
I'm not sure if we've covered all areas. We may have just more or less mistakenly missed out some, and I'm sure members would ask where we have not covered them. We can more or less fill everything up in terms of your requests for all questions.
Member, any part where they fall off their horses? Honorable Chief, Honorable State, Honorable Sam, those of you that will remember what I'm talking about, all of their horses. Honorable
Chief. It could just be that I'm new to this particular committee and particularly the CFIC, and I'm trying to understand it. Are you saying that you are self-sustainable at this stage? That you're actually feeding your, paying your bills through the money that you generate through tariffs. Because what I'm still trying to understand is, what do you use the government money for, the government grant for? And it said it's not reflected in, I don't see how it's reflected in the income. And the only place I see it is deferred income and government grant, which has numbers that don't match what I see in the estimates of expenditure. Yeah, maybe I'm just being doof here, which is quite likely, but I would actually like to know, that lump sum of government money, where is it? What is it being used for? Or do you not need it? Because I don't see it in the figures.
Thanks.
Chair, let me start by apologizing. I earlier got them confused with the SABC, with billion rand loan, but I also got them confused with ICASA. I think it's ICASA that transfers their license fee, mm-hmm. National Treasury, so my apologies there. But just to get back to the DBSA loan, you're going to be paying at the end of this 2013 financial year. So I don't know why you've got the 21 million in the short-term portion of 2012, and then you've got the 24 million under 2013, when I would imagine that would have been, that's for 2014. So you don't really reflect under loan and borrowings under 2013 on your current liabilities. There's zero. And then you've got the 24 million further down under your short-term loans. It's just something that I can't get my head around. Because you're going to be paying it in the 2013 budget year. So I would have imagined, I would have wanted to see the 21 million in the 2013 budget year as a liability. It's something you're going to be paying this financial year. But be that as it may, okay, just very quickly, just another X that bothers me a bit, and perhaps I'm sure it's just an oversight. On page 58 of the document, on the business television portion there, you do indicate that there's initiatives for revenue growth, and it's right at the bottom of that page. And I think somebody just left out the number there. And it says, as a result of these initiatives, which is above, revenue growth for the product is expected to grow by X percent. I think somebody needed to fill in the X percent in 2012, and then average of the X factor in the following 2 years. So there's a figure that must come in there. And then lastly, Chair, just as a matter of clarity once again, because I have to connect the dots in order, and it refers to the targets. I have to connect the dots because it can be construed both ways. If we look at the very first page of the key performance indicator, the annexure that I've requested be part of the document, and you look at the number of sites rolled out to enable FM reception, they've got 2 in the first quarter, they've got 4 in the second quarter, 7 in the third quarter, and 8 in the fourth quarter. Now, when I look at the annual targets, it says 8. That's why I had to connect the dots. But this can be construed as 2, plus then 4 in the next quarter, plus then 7 in the next quarter, and plus 8 in the final quarter, which would give us a total of, 21 or something. So just, but I've connected the dots, so perhaps it should be cumulative or total, as you said, somewhere else. On another page, you've actually said 8 current, 7 new cumulative, so that one knows it takes into consideration the previous one. So it can be a little bit confusing. Chair, that's it. I think I've reached the end of my Bible.
Who's next? Brother?
No, thank you, Honorable Chair. I think when we were responding to the CEO, there was something there. I don't know whether it's a map or what. It had colors. They have that red, the purple that you call blue, and something else. And then in that map, you mentioned something like maybe green, yeah, it was green, red, and blue coverage. That you have been engaging with DOC, but in that engagement, you have not yet to deal with the red part. You have not yet shared with us the issue of the cost. We really need additional cost or what will happen. I did understand when you said you might even still use the same size, but the issue of the cost, we really need extra cost or what. And this morning, the DOC did mention the shortfall around the DDT. If you can just share with us, how will that affect you? Or as they said, the little that they have, may sustain till further engagement continues. Last is around this issue of the satellite issue. Because I think the satellite, the set-top boxes that we have been referring to time and again, it has something to do with the territorial, it has nothing to do. I just want to understand if it's the same people of, what's this area? Northern Cape. We lose the same set-up boxes to the same terrestrial and satellite. What will happen to the issue of this? I know the issue of the set-up boxes might not be an issue, but you can just say with us, if what kind of a set-up box will they need? Is it the same or what? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Another thing?
So, yeah, just one other thing that I was to ask my repeat with Pegasus. Document on pages 90 and 91 of the actual strategic report. Okay. On risks, point number 6, we talk about failure to comply with applicable laws has exposed the company to risk. And for example, you owe ICASA 84 million, you owe Altec 38 million, and someone called Mr. Kassim 1.7 million. Can you just please explain what that is all about and how that is reflected in the account? Thank you.
Can respond to you? You can respond, then, Chair.
Okay. Thanks very much, Chair. I think before that, I noticed another question that I didn't answer before. There was a question, I think, about whether mobile television will support people with disabilities. The answer would be yes. Exactly to the same extent as the normal digital television. And then there's also a question about the role in sustaining community broadcasters. What we've done is we started with the tariffs. We've now sent all our regional managers
to go and look for community broadcasters that have not been using Celtic to get them onto Celtic so that they can get the service that we have. But there is scope for more interventions. There's scope for more work that we can do to assist them in their business operations, and we'll be exploring that for during the year. I think our focus right now is just to get them to respond to their most burning issue. Yes, dual illumination, and I think that will then answer the other part, is dual illumination is a policy output which said that during the migration period, in order to, I mean, if one looks at the things that will make DTT work, one is the network, one is ability of set-top boxes. One of the most important ones is availability of compelling content. If the broadcaster's costs are such that they do not provide, cannot afford the additional channels that are required to provide in order for this to succeed, then I think the policy was that if they are they have to duplicate a channel on DTT, that the channel that gets duplicated will not be paid for. And by them to send Celtic incurs costs for running those networks. For example, when right now when we have the 60%, we're incurring energy costs. We have to put that's a direct additional cost. We do have additional, for example, people cost to be able to manage the extra equipment. So that recovery to assist the project is National Treasury is typically or government pays Celtic that instead of the broadcasters paying Celtic that. So it's almost not the money for Celtic, as more it's money to the broadcasters paid to Celtic. In the absence of that support, the DTT project would have a very, very difficult early stages because then SABC 1 to 3, SABC would have to pay something twice for SABC 1 to 3, even though the advertising revenue, for example, does not increase on the additional channels. No. The it's for we motivate for the capital project, the building of the infrastructure. We have listed on page 56 of the strategic plan. Is it? On page 36 of the strategic plan, for example, we show the list under the capital expenditure. I mean, if you see that most of the money, 852 million, is that it's spent on building the network, rehabilitating, for example. But one of the biggest costs there is the rehabilitation of the electrical systems. They've been old, and we are essentially putting new generators, new DB boards, and so on and so forth. Then dual illumination is really a small portion of that, as you can see in that cost schedule. Now, the dual illumination, you won't see the capital, the expenditure, the same form of expenditure. I mean, I think I'll leave it to the CSO to explain where the bulk of the government grant is showing up in our financial statement. It's not showing up in the income statement. It's only the dual illumination portion that shows up in the income statement. The quarterly targets are cumulative. We accept that. I think we just note that they are cumulative, and we accept that typo on page 60. So I think we'll just add in that then and there. That it's X percent and X percent. The actual numbers there that should be there. Yeah. The question was asked, I think, around that diagram about whether well, we're going to need extra funding. I think that we still have to work through this problem through the, you know, the government structure and see exactly. I think what we are trying to solve is the universal access problem in the most cost-effective way possible. It's not a fairly complex problem that we still working on its mechanics, and I think when when we know exactly what the how to essentially get 100% access or protect 92% terrestrial access, then we'll be able to determine what the cost are. But it's something that will certainly be done within the quarter of this, the first quarter. I mean, we do have numbers, as I said, team to work on some additional things more. The shortfalls on the basis of the target and the work or the project as defined in implementing the frequency plan and the, you know, to get to the 88% terrestrial target, given the frequency plan challenges that you have here, the capital project is fully funded and the dual elimination is the one that is not fully funded for the MTF period. In the first year, it is fully funded, you know, subject to National Treasury approving the rollover of previous funds. The money is there. The set-top boxes, satellite set-top boxes, what I thought to illustrate the SKA area. This is the old, what I have on the board there is the old analog coverage in the Northern Cape. The low power project, for example, works in this the gaps outside of the middle. The SKA requirement, this was the original DTT coverage plan for the area. The SKA project team, we then requested to provide assurance that we won't have any kind of interference in that polygon there. And as a result, we just expanded there. We said in the red there, there's people who used to have analog coverage. They are no longer going to have analog coverage. In the green, there's people who could have had, who had analog coverage, who could have had DTT, even according to the old plan, who are not going to have terrestrial coverage anymore. Or here, they are not going to have terrestrial coverage. We then went on the number of the population affected and the households, and we gave that data to the department. Now, this area here in the policy is guaranteed to be subsidized for reception of television by satellite, the set-top boxes, probably in alignment with the policy on ownership support, or the scheme of ownership. The set-top box for satellite reception will have, the viewer experience should be the same, meaning that, I mean, your EPG, the SABC lineup will be the same. The look and feel will be the same. The only thing that should really be different is that the box recognizes satellite reception as opposed to DTT reception. Then also, just because of the nature of satellite, the box will have to be encrypted because the satellite signal crosses borders. But it will still be free access, but encrypted. It's just a new technology requirement. And I know to answer the question. Yes. It will be available to people who live in that area.
It's trying to say if a farmer is living there, will it also be free?
The subsidy, the subsidy will probably be in alignment with the scheme of ownership support, which is within the DOC. We do not have the details of that. The question that we can answer is the technical specification of the box we received signals.
Is someone working on the exit?
But
we are not going to adopt the document with exit. The exit we talk about is someone working on the
exit.
What should replace the
exit?
Okay, so it's actually a process.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Once more again, on the DBSA loan, when you look at page 76 again, under short-term liability for 2013 financial year, where it indicated 23 million, what that means, at the end, on the last day of the 2012-2013 financial year, we will be owing DBSA 23.
Why you two are wasting our time? You ask question, when start to respond. Okay, no, I see. Okay, no, it's time to proceed.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. With respect to money owed to individuals, those monies are provided for. You make a provision, what we normally do, because we need to involve a lawyer to tell us what are the probabilities of us winning or losing the case. And they will tell us these are the probabilities. If the probabilities are above 50%, we provide for that particular probabilities and so forth. So we take a cue from what our legal advisors would say, and we do make provision where it is required.
Thanks, Honourable. I'm sorry, the council presentation, the council did mention an issue with Centrec. We are in negotiations. The talking to council, it really dates back to 1997, truth be told. There is a court case, but also an agreement that we can solve it. It's what we have there is really contingent liability. We did pass through a provision last year for an amount that we think will settle the dispute, not settle the dispute, but it's really at the core of the issue. The matter is in court. The CASA did raise the issue in his presentation, and we do have it in our risk profile. I think what you're saying is that these are historical issues. Where we are right now, all of them are historical issues. And we just have to make sure that the issues of compliance are also embedded within the organization. It's not just compliance to regulations or specific laws within the industry. It's 360 degree compliance, and we do have that in the organization. I think we are recognizing that we have to raise it as a risk because it has to be managed because there is evidence of things having gone or disputes having been caused in the front end because of the past.
Chair, what have you done to Altec? What has been issued?
Chair, thank you. The issue I must say it has been resolved, but it's an issue that again, caused reputational issues for Centrec. We did note it in the last year when we were here around this time. And there was an issue around the, from our side, it was an issue around the adherence to the delegation of powers by members of the executive, making commitments outside the delegated powers to external parties. And those external parties then suing the company. So when they see a commitment from the company, from people who don't have delegation to make such commitments. And that was the real issue there. That's why it was in court.
And the individual are still with Zentech, I suppose?
No, they're not.
All of them are gone.
All of them are
gone. Oh, but the case remains.
This particular case has now been resolved.
Your former CFO, not that you'll come back, don't worry, CFO. I'm just asking you about the issue.
The issue is still ongoing.
No, I'm just asking whether it's been a long pending matter.
Yeah.
Why are you not resolving it? Don't worry, CFO. You're not coming back, your former CFO has been. But I'm just asking this long engagement on resolving the matter.
Yeah. It's I mean, we put a position, I think, to Mr. Kasim, and he opened a case, the Labour Court and also another the CCMA, and he still has not responded, I think, to the onus is on him to either close the case or then we continue. But I think the issues of principle around the matter from the company.
No, thanks. Any question, members? Or you are tired now? It does not want it. It does not want the cold one, want the diamond one. Not screaming diamond. Probably will be able to get. There was this issue on page one on your annual plan performance. This one, the streamlined one. I just try to I'm trying to understand your target there, in line with what has been indicated as some accommodation. This one. That can someone take us through and indicate which ones are accommodated there, which ones are not? You know? Because now I'm in a doubt in terms of which numbers are. Accumulative, which one are the specific costs. That one, when you check to page 64 of this document, you'll see that the numbers seem to be different from the other one, but can just help us to understand so that we know at the end of the fourth quarter what will be the number there.
Thank you, Chairman. I think the principle there is that the objective is cumulatively, even no matter how you get there, you want to have, for example, let's take the issue of DTT, 82.5% coverage. All the numbers there are cumulative, all of them. Just to give you an example, DTT, in the first two quarters, we are busy getting new transmitters and then building. Then we finish the first province in the third quarter. That then goes from 60.9 to 63. Then we do a lot of provinces in the fourth quarter. Then it goes from 63.3 to 82.5. We could have shown the increase, the marginal increase per quarter, so all of them will be cumulative. I do understand that the target there is 80%, but in the quarterly one we can slightly more than 80%. I mean, it is. That's an anomaly there on the DTT coverage.
So let's go to the upper one, the first one on page one. LT and LC. You got 21, the next is 42, the 63, 84. Now, it will be the 42. But that 42 is including the 21.
Yes.
And it will be 63 including the 42.
Yes.
Now, the difficulty is that your quarterly one will be that one minus that one, then you got what will be done in that quarter. Yes. It's a very difficult way of putting it.
So you should put it in the...
We should love to see what you are going to do with the court.
The court, okay.
Yeah, as simple as that. That's what you are going to do with the court. So that when we call you at the end of the second court, we understand what is that you have done. But it's understandable. You can do that in that manner if you understand me. If you don't, it becomes a little bit problem. In particular, because most of the these indicators, most of the ethics are not applicable. So once you are used to that format, that is a quarter, then it comes the accumulative one, you can easily mess it up or just be confused in terms of which one and so on. But no, I do, and so the same will apply in all of them. Okay. No, it's fine. I just wanted to get clarity on that. Have you got the exit?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. When you look at page 57, where we talk about BTV of the corporate plan, the FL corporate plan, because the figure is there, and TV, and we put BTV, the increase is 242%, which should go there in the first X. And the rest of the sentence should be deleted because going forward is not increase. It's a decrease of minus 19%. So the rest of the sentence should be deleted because it does not make sense. I'm on page 57 and 58 of the FL corporate plan. On page 57, there is BTV, which is what we're talking about on page 58. On page 57, there is that row which talks about BTV and also the increase. In that increase under variance is 242%, which is the first X. That should be the first X, 242%. And the rest of the sentence should be deleted because it's not increasing. It will be a decrease because it will be moving from 2 million to about 1.6 million, which is a decrease. So it would not make sense. It would have to be deleted, the rest of the sentence. Yeah, 242 in 2012 to the 13 full stop. The end, from end downward, must be deleted.
Okay.
Before saying, Broker?
Thank you, Chair. Can that X, those X amounts be emailed to us? That we can have it in black and white.
Okay. Can we get the existence document? Another thing?
Okay.
I understand the language as well. Remember, that was the presentation from Centec, but CEO or chairperson, when you are giving the presentation and try to explain the issue of rolling out of a lower power transmitters and so on, you talk about two players, but in essence there are three players there. You can do whatever you do, but if the regulator doesn't come to the party in terms of the rolling out of low power transmitters, what is the issue there? Because you emphasize your goals. How it works between yourself and SAPC, but you didn't touch the regulator. And when the regulator, they were here, it's a matter which I talked to them about, that they might want a person seconded full time on this project so that we don't have delays of the regulator in terms of doing what they're supposed to do. But when you were engaging on that matter, you didn't mention the regulator. I'm not sure that they are no longer having a role. In terms of the rolling out.
Thanks, Chairperson. They certainly do. To assign frequencies, and we do require, it is a required that the turnaround time for frequency assignment needs to be very, very short.
for us to be able to accomplish this aggressive problem.
So you still need them?
We do need them.
No, that's one thing.
Okay, what when we're talking to them, I was no longer sure, probably. We didn't need them to continue to deal with them. No, I don't have any other issues myself. Remember, we don't have to finish a survey. You can finish any. Chairperson and the new or brand new board member, we like to take the opportunity to welcome you or to congratulate your appointment to the board of Zentech. We would love to hear your voices, but you are jealously guarding against speaking. So that we don't know your voices, that's fine. If you are doing that, but hopefully some other time we will be able to hear your voices, engaging on the matters and so on. But we hope that you will find something interesting and continue to do the good work and so on. But see, or do you need the government money? Or you just need it for the sake of you need it, but you can do without government money? In some of the government projects, I'm just asking that if the government, the government does not fund you, are you not going to carry the burden for the social responsibility and the good of the country as a company? I'm just asking whether you need the money, because anyway, everyone is getting the money, but you can still pull through.
I don't know. My board member was saying we do need government money.
What are you saying?
I will go with my board. I just want to thank you, the members and the chairperson, that on behalf of the board of Zentech, we really thank you very much for having given us this opportunity to come and present to you our game plan. We certainly have indicated our guiding system. We are on top flight, and we're carrying with us a payload. We know what our role is as Zentech, that we are an implementing arm of government, and we actually address where there is market failure. And our role is to make sure that there is a universal access and affordable access to services. And I think this would mean a great deal to the population in terms of the flagship project, especially DTT, that we succeed in this, and we're putting our weight to the shoulder to make sure that come the period when we switch off from our side, we will have covered the area in as much as we've indicated in the corporate plan. But also to indicate that the times, they have changed in the sense that technological advances are such that we are now in the digital information era. And Zentech must adapt accordingly. Today, we know that distribution of content is no longer through the traditional means alone. Internet access and all other kinds of devices could be utilized to access that. So we hold no monopoly. Actually, it's a question of survivability. But we think we have captured the essence of the changed environment, and I think we are adapting accordingly, and we will enter into all other areas of provision of content through whatever network, to whatever device, and to whatever consumer. So with us, I thank you very much for this opportunity, and I'm sure next time we come around, we'll deliver the goodies. Thank you very much.
You see, Chair, the mistake I will never do is to put ICASA followed by Zentech or Stati Zentech followed by ICASA, because we seem to be having one and the same problem in the chairpersonship.
But I won't do that mistake. I'll make sure that I always separate the two so that I don't have double headache in one day. I just have one and all. But nevertheless, thanks very much for the work which you are doing in center. We hope that by the time you come back, you should have filled your position, the one which you are taking now, so that you restore the good corporate governance. In the absence of people in this position, it always become a problem. One way or another, in terms of how to deal with particular matters. I won't ask you frequently about the national broadband wireless. I know in the morning the DOC indicated what are the problems and so on. But otherwise, thanks very much. But I'm told that when you get out of the lift, you go to G. Dinner will be served at the dining hall. So from here, you can just go down to the dining hall. Remember, the envelope we have received, there is a report for GCIS, which we must probably adopt it today. Please go through it, and then we start to interact tomorrow if there are areas which you want to be changed and so on. And the letter from the Minister for SABC in relation to the inquiry of one board member who seems to be acted, alleged to be acted outside the normal a way which is expected from board members and so on is also there. But as I've indicated, that immediately the legal services has finalized their view because there are two conflicting legal opinions in terms of who must deal with the matter, whether it's us or the SABC board. Once that matter is clarified, they will be able to engage in terms of how they take the process forward to us. It is the board and see how they take the process forward so that the matter has been finalized. But the letter is in your hand and the GCIS report. We are meeting tomorrow, number 2:09 at B454. In the morning, we are taking you Sasa. Then we finish with Nemisa. If things go well, we finish earlier in Sasa. We can as well continue with Nemisa immediately, depending on what time of finish. If not, then it means we will proceed the afternoon. But if there is some time to start Nemisa in the morning, we'll do that. And then only come to finalize so that we've got a shorter day. Not as long as today and so on. So that will be the program for tomorrow. Thanks very much, everyone. Let's go and have some weekend. Members who need transport.